Well, it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes, and we are right here in between the Sundays. And Jason, it's been a super slow news week. I don't even know if there's anything to address or talk about.
No, we're just actually going to shut it down.
Yeah.
You guys have a great week.
We'll see you next
Wednesday.
Peace.
Yeah. No, man, it has been a hot mess this week.
You know,
fortunately, lots of material for us to discuss today.
Yeah. And news in 2018, 2019 is an interesting thing. And to put it in perspective, there was probably, I don't even know, it feels like it was 6 months ago, but I think it wasn't even a month ago. The AP reached out to me about a story concerning Planned Parenthood in Nashville, and because of the work I do.
I love how you just said that so casually.
Yeah. And so,
well, just another day, AP reached out to me.
But here's the point. They reached out. They came to my office, sat down, did an interview on camera, all of this. Okay. And I thought, okay, well, you know, it's going to be, either I made a really good decision by agreeing to this or a terrible decision. We'll find out when it posts. And then 2 days later, like, it was the news that we were discussing, and it was discussing about abortion clinic in Nashville, no longer performing abortions. That seemed like just in 2 days that it was a year old.
Yeah.
And so the story never ran because it couldn't even keep up with the news cycle.
Yeah, correct.
And so, either that or they were like, man, that dude was terrible. We're not going to put that on air. But that's where we are today, that you see something and you make a comment on it, and then something else happens.
Yes.
And then you have to turn this way, and then the shutdown happens, and then immigration happens, and then this happens, and this happens.
Correct.
Like, I cannot keep up with all of it.
On a much lesser important spectrum, there are two things that happened this week that should be noted.
Okay.
One is our University of Tennessee Volunteers.
Come on.
Number one in the nation.
Come on, Deacon Barnes.
It feels so, so good.
So good and yet so scary.
And so, so scary. Yeah. Are we thinking it's gonna hold on for long?
I do. You know, if you're on Twitter, Admiral Schofield is one of the great players on the UT team. Also a follower of Jesus.
Yes.
Along with the rest of the team.
Right.
I believe. So
we do know that a number of them have actually made public confessions
absolutely.
Of Christ.
They're great.
But in our 100% fandom, we have deemed them all as just faithful.
Yeah. How could you have Rick Barnes as a coach?
Right. Right.
And not be. But Admiral Schofield spends his time on Twitter going through, and anytime anybody says anything negative about UT, he just likes it. And so his likes on Twitter are just all these negative comments about UT, and that's why I believe we're going to be just fine.
It is pretty fantastic.
He is just letting it feed his soul.
It is pretty fantastic. All right, and so then also this week, it should be noted, now I'm going to try to share this in a manner that is respectful, and I want to try to share this in a manner in which speaks towards important issues, but then also speaks towards this inner thing that is within me, okay? And so our new mayor, Glenn Jacobs.
Kane,
yep. Correct. Formerly, if you're a listener from outside the Knoxville community, he is indeed the wrestler Kane, WWE.
Yeah, of course you know him.
Correct. You should know him. And he has established basically some degree of a faith council, and I'm fortunate to be a part of that small group of leaders. And so I've begun to develop some degree of a relationship with him, and then we have also kind of stepped in as a group of churches in an effort to try to do some things connected to this opioid epidemic. And so a local news station here in Knoxville reached out to a number of us, wanted to do a story. The story went out. Then our mayor got word of it, and posted it. I replied and said something like, it's fun to, you know, it's, you know, an honor to partner together with, you know, folks in our community. And he responded back with all caps, "You rock."
Oh, that is good.
And I'm just going to let you know
that
the pastoral professional side of me just went on with it and was like, oh, that's cool.
Sure, that's
you know,
nice.
I'm glad.
Yeah,
it's
thanks.
Always fun to partner with our local organizations and politicians and things of that sort. The inner high schooler in me, which has been many years ago, was ecstatic.
Yeah.
In fact, I have since gone on Amazon and ordered a mask, and I will.
In the next meeting, you will
now be wearing a mask with our mayor at the next meeting.
I think we should get him on the show since that would be amazing. Since y'all are so close.
No,
and all
man, I truly do want to say I got tons of respect for that guy. You know, tons of respect for him.
And the interesting thing, a lot of people want to, you know, they can make comments about him being a wrestler, but first off, he's done so much already for this community with getting donations from the WWE and others.
He's a believer.
A believer and very smart. Like he's not. Yes, he's a wrestler, but he's also an entrepreneur and had a great business and he's the Big Red Machine and maybe we can get Jesus to the Undertaker. Like there's so many good
things.
There's
so many things that we could do
from this relationship, Jason.
So it feels good. So with that said, the Vols and Kane's social media account are important, but probably not quite as important as some of the actual issues that happened this week. You were in D.C.
I was, yeah.
And it sounds like that was a great experience for you, but then also there were some other things that happened in D.C. this week that were not quite so positive.
You know, the interesting thing is the March for Life every year is an amazing picture of peaceful protest, marching to tell not just this country but the world that life has value and that we want to see Roe v. Wade overturned. And so I've been going for the last 4 years, and this year I believe is the largest I've seen. I mean, there were people everywhere. Some people have estimated 500,000, and I would believe it. We, during the rally, when everybody was speaking, the vice president spoke and Ben Shapiro spoke and Abby Johnson, others spoke. The president, President Trump had a video, because if he were to come, they would have to shut down everything.
Yeah.
But, it was amazing. But during all of that, because unless you're in the front, it's really hard to see. We thought, well, we'll start walking to where the march will be. And then what we found is every side street was full of people trying to get to the main street to march. And it was so many people and so peaceful. And then there's some cable news outlets that tried to say there are 1,000 people there. Believe me, there were much, much more than that. There might have been 1,000 porta potties. Okay. So, and that's not an over exaggeration.
Right.
They were everywhere. And then, so it was just a beautiful thing to see all these young people, all these students, you know, people of all ages, all walks of life coming together, to stand for life. But what has kind of come from that is the only thing that's been talked about is a minor, very small incident that occurred at the Lincoln Memorial after the march was over. And that's what they've been kind of focusing on the news and on social media. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. And we want to be very clear. You know, we weren't there. You were in
I was
DC,
there, but I was not.
You were not
my
in
dad
the middle
actually
of
called me and said, he said, did you see that? And I was like, yeah, I've seen it. He was like, you were there? I was like, well, I mean, I saw it on the news.
You're like,
I was
no, Dad, there was literally 500,000 people plus all the other things that were happening in the city, which adds hundreds of thousands
like,
of other things.
Did you see that one guy?
I was like, I did not.
I mean, maybe.
See this exact interaction, you know. But we were not there. We both were talking even off air. There are now what feels like a half a dozen different angles, different videos, different accounts, different stories.
What a time to be
things
alive.
Of that sort. Good grief. It is exhausting. And we also said off air, we don't want to minimize the need for important conversations that our society just needs to be happening or need to be having in terms of you know, things like racism and things like indigenous people groups and all of this stuff. I mean, there are appropriate moments to have these conversations because they're needed conversations. But what we want to focus on today is the mob mentality, the chaos that has ensued by fairly uninformed people, or I should probably say not fairly, I would say
really
highly uninformed people through social media. We talked about social media in the past a bit, but we wanted to talk about today culturally how we got here and why we're here, and also how can we be better when it comes to all this stuff like snap judgments and mob mentality and really even to a degree putting the lives of people at risk with really careless speech and social media activity.
Well, the interesting, you know, social media has its positives. During it, we were talking about UT earlier. during a UT game, I'm on
everything Twitter. Related to UT yeah. is positive.
Yeah, exactly, most of the time.
Okay, and, that's not true so, at all, but it feels good to say.
And so as I'm watching a game, typically I'm also scrolling Twitter, and it's yeah. like I'm watching the game with thousands of fans.
Now, what you have to be careful though is be mindful that if you're not cautious, your Twitter feed is yeah, ahead yeah, of what you're watching on TV, and then you're like, oh, yeah. we lost. Yeah. Oh, or, we yeah. won. Yep. And the game's
I've been
not
there too.
Up. But and so sometimes like that.
And so continue. So that's a fun time. Everybody's talking about what's going on, and or during the Super Bowl, during big events, what you'll find when the Oscars come up here in a, I think this Sunday or soon, you'll have people on Twitter, you know, commenting immediately as things are done. There's nothing wrong with that. But because of that immediate ability to interact, what you have is anytime something is put out there, whether it be, a body cam from a police officer or multiple videos from an event, there are snap judgments. They're immediately posting and saying, this is exactly what happened before any other details are provided.
Right.
This is what's happened. We need to go after these people. And instead of going, hold on, this maybe there's something more to this, or even not just a video, even worse, it's just a picture. And then you're like, this has to be this.
Did you notice, and again, we're just – kind of talking about this and to some degree more about our response. Well, to a full degree, we're talking about response, but I would just note even with this young man that, you know, his picture has been, strewn all across the world. I mean, yeah. really, and so many comments about that's a punch. I mean, literally as we were talking about yep. people with blue check marks, people yeah. that have legitimate followings mm-hmm. and have real news platforms and things that sort of making statements like that's a punchable face.
Yeah.
And then on the Today Show, I believe, yeah. He was on and you're like, that doesn't even look like the same kid.
No.
And again, that doesn't, you know, necessarily speak towards actions, but it's just crazy that you're like, even the picture seems misleading. Or was misleading from like, I thought I was looking at an 18-year-old yeah. kid, and now I feel like I'm looking at a little boy.
Yeah.
And you know, he's mature enough to be able to control his actions and things sure. of that sort. But it was just interesting for sure.
Well, and because of that, we've reached a place. It's one thing to do that with adults. It's a whole nother thing to point your hatred toward a high school kid.
Right.
And so we saw that even back during the Parkland shootings in Florida. We saw a mob mentality because some of those students came out and said we need to have more gun control. Some people went after them. And then some of those students said we don't need to have gun control, that's not the problem. And other people went after them. And
right.
so we have turned into a populace, especially on social media, that just are itching to bounce. And what we were talking about off air and what we'll talk about when we come back is Twitter has kind of, it's no longer confined to Twitter. It's now making yeah. its way to the streets with addresses being released and doxing people and really putting all of their information yep. out there where the schools now had to close and all these other things. And so it's a reality that we have to face now in 2019 that these things will occur. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. So today we are talking about the mob mentality when it comes to social media. And, of course, if you're not familiar with what happened at the March for Life, after the March for Life, there was a Native American protest going on. There was another group of folks that called themselves Hebrew Israelites. And then there was a group of Catholic boys from a Catholic school waiting for their bus to pick them up. And all of that created a situation where some are saying it was the Catholic boys' fault, some are saying it was the Native Americans' fault, some are saying it was the other religious groups' fault. And so, but the
you have other variables.
There's so many things.
Yeah, you got other people walking by. You got the March for Life that yeah. you know that's happening.
Thousands and thousands of people.
You got
everywhere.
Make America Great Again hats. You know,
which
all this
has
other
there
stuff.
Ever been again? Not to say one way or the other. But has there ever been a political statement stronger, I guess, at least the narrative seems, anyone that wears that hat for any reason,
yeah.
they're immediately labeled a certain thing. And so, again, that goes back to we make snap judgments instead of truly, as far as Christians, and that's the goal of this show, is how do Christians live between Sundays? how do we view these things? Do we view these as these are people that bear the image of our God, or they make me mad because they have a certain hat on, or they make me mad because they were drumming in front of a kid? Or how are we willing to truly step back and go, I just need more information? And, yeah. and that doesn't make me the problem. A lot of times is in today's time, when you say I need more information, another group will attack you. Well, you just don't care about the issue.
Yep.
And you're saying, I just want some more facts before right. we make judgments.
Well, and so, you know, we kind of spent our first segment just kind of candidly talking a little bit about the ridiculous nature of these snap judgments and how quickly we allow things to escalate without really knowing the full story and things of that sort. And so, you know, we begin to shift the conversation a bit as to say, well, what are we supposed to do? And I would start with, there has to be some degree and maybe a great degree of just personal responsibility. And I would also start that in the context of talking about how do we interact with children? Mm-hmm. You know, we do understand that, you know, a teenager can make really bad decisions. We understand that a teenager can do really hurtful things. We also should remember when we were a teenager and how at times our mind didn't always function like it should have. Right. And we didn't always think as logical as we should have. And we allowed emotions and hormones and everything else to kind of get in the way of doing what was right. And I would say it's interesting also about how many people are demonizing. And as you said, this isn't just this instant.
No,
I mean, there's all kinds of instances where we have begun to demonize the next generation. And I'm going to start with the next generation just didn't get here mm-hmm. and get to their current state without a whole bunch of apathy or a whole bunch of hatred or a whole bunch of racism or a whole bunch of whatever it may be from previous generations.
Yeah.
And so before we go and throw everyone under the bus, especially before we go and throw young people under the bus, we better be mindful that in many ways we are responsible for creating this culture. Mm-hmm. We are responsible for some of the things that are seen within the next generation. You know why? Because they're seen in our generation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's worth noting. I mean, even in this incident in D.C., you have, you know, if kids are saying something inappropriate, okay, but we also have adults yeah. that are saying a whole lot of things that are inappropriate. Where is the outrage when it comes to that?
Yeah, and the interesting thing about this case, and not just this case, but the snap judgments, the immediate reaction, it's not just happening with young people. Go on Twitter. It's happening with all the blue check marks. It's happening with journalists. It's happening yep. with people on the right and the left. It's happening with pastors. That's my concern as I'm watching this and leaders that I deeply respect and love, I have seen, and they probably could say the same thing about me because I'm not immune to that as well. I've made some snap judgments, had to delete things and say I probably shouldn't have said that. But what we're finding is we're having people that we're just being pulled into that. And I think the enemy sees that and is going, hold on, this Twitter thing is a great, or not just Twitter, Facebook, this is a great way to pull people into the depths of sin and attack others.
How have you found for you personally as a ministry leader,
sure.
As it connected to a ministry that is tied to what many deem as a controversial topic,
yeah.
you know, pro-life, a stance. Have you felt this almost expectation that you're supposed to have an opinion and a voice and a statement almost on every, you know, everything that's happening in our culture? When one of these things happens, do you feel an expectation from those that are connected to your ministry
yep.
or those that follow your platform to say something? And if so, you know, how have you tried to balance
sure.
that?
I would say 100%. Anything that has to do with abortion, New York last night
yeah.
Voted on a bill that allows abortion all the way up to birth.
Yeah, if you've not seen that video, it's sobering.
Yeah,
at
and
best.
So
yeah.
and so sure, I could, and I made some small comments last night, but would it be proper for me to go all in immediately without really sitting back, praying through, thinking through what that looks like? No, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to do that. And so there have been multiple times where, that's how I think is I write. And so when some things like that happen, I've spit out all kinds of stuff and I've wrote stuff and went to post it, and staff members have looked at it and said, yeah, we can't post that. And that I'm thankful for that,
right,
but
sure.
It's because we think we know, we think this is going to be good, but the reality is we may not be thinking clearly about all the people that may see that and how that's going to make the ministry look, how that's going to make all of us look. And there are some things we don't need to be silent on. There are some things,
right,
absolutely we need to boldly stand up and go, look, it doesn't matter. This needs to be discussed and talked about. But there are other things. And here's my issue is there's so many things I want to comment on.
Right.
And the old me did comment on a lot of those that I've had to kind of pull back, because what I found is there's so many blogs out there. There's so many things out there that we don't wait anymore. We just
right.
immediately write. We immediately push send. We immediately post. And I don't think there's enough reflecting on what we truly need to be putting out there.
Right. And I would say that
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I feel that same weight. And you know, I think I've probably over the past few years have people begun to maybe have lessened expectations of me, but as you said, I do believe there are a number of things that warrant my response, warrant me not necessarily to make a statement on, but to communicate to our people about. But I have also learned that it is much more effective if I've thought through this, mm-hmm. if I've prayed through this, if I have made sure that I am speaking about the issue correctly in light of getting all the appropriate information. And I'm not talking about a 3-month investigation
right.
here. I'm talking about giving myself the freedom to not feel like I have to comment on something in the first, you know, 3 hours of some social, you know, event. And I would just offer, I think that's good practice for everyone.
Yeah.
Not just for ministry leaders or for, you know, CEOs or school principals or somebody that has what's perceived as some platform. But I think it's a good approach for each and every one of us to say, let's think about when we need to say things. Let's think about how we say it, and let's not fall into this trap that says I have to offer an opinion immediately, otherwise people think I'm hateful. That is not true. Just because I haven't spoken about something 12 hours after it happened does not mean it is an expression of my affirmation for it.
Well, and here's the thing. It also may mean that you have 3 kids and a wife. That you're
correct.
Also, or in my case, 4 kids and a wife. And so
right.
there's other things going on
right.
outside of a viral video. And,
right.
and I think for some of us, it's difficult to go, I mean, it is for me to say,
yeah.
to say, honey, I really need to post this right now instead
yeah.
of dealing with y'all. No, that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. Carrie's like, hey, the kids need to get down to dinner right now. They need to get to ball practice.
Yeah.
And whatever comments you're going to make on something that happened on the other side of the country can wait.
Exactly. We'll be back. So, Jason, before we get back into the topic at hand, we're sitting in the studios at Joy 620, and to my left is a piece of paper that I guess is for the Bob Bell Show, and tomorrow is Neil Diamond Day, apparently.
Song, blue, everybody knows one. Song, blue.
Oh, man.
God and grows one.
Neil Diamond is a treasure.
What's up? Sorry, I'll stop.
Yeah, and
the blues now and then.
You would probably put him right up there with Train.
Why? Why would I have said that? For those of you that don't know, Christmas special, we talked about some of our favorite Christmas songs.
Out of all of them, Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. Mel, all of the songs.
And
you
I mentioned
chose.
Train.
And you said, I didn't even know they sing a Christmas song. And Jason says, "Train." Their Christmas song is what.
But I do love some Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond.
I do love some Neil Diamond. My parents were huge Neil Diamond fans.
My dad loved Neil
Diamond. And so I somehow managed to.
Well, tomorrow, send a text, call your parents, and say,
"Turn on the radio."
Neil Diamond Day.
Man, it feels good.
I don't know what you do.
This is the information.
You don't get
that we bring to the people.
Yeah.
Feels good. And, so, and when we bring it to the people, we mean we just steal Bob's
yeah,
votes.
Yeah, Bob is, we brought it to the people before Bob brought it to the people. He's going to love that. So as we talk about, the mob mentality and social media and all that goes on with that, I know that at Shoreline, there's been some writing and some emphasis on this and some common sense, things that we need to do and look at in our own lives before we hit post, before we hit send. And so let's go through some of those.
Yeah, so we did, in fact, a couple of years ago now, because sadly, this, you know, the story that the faces change and some of the details change, but it feels like we're having this conversation over and over and over and over and over again about, you know, either how we've rushed to things or how we've handled ourselves on social media, or things that just don't seem honoring to Christ in the way that we're interacting. And candidly, we can't expect a lost person to act redeemed, but we can take some responsibility as the church. And so we put out a post called Social Media and the Gospel, and we provided a number of things, but at the end of it, we also added some common sense rules for social media. And we're just going to run through these. The first one we said is, if I'm going to offend, let me offend with the gospel alone. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting thing when, as Christians, and these are things that some Christians back in the day didn't have to deal with and even think about. But in 2019, as Christians, we have to think about all of our platforms, not just in our community, not just in our job, not just at church, but in our social media feeds. Because what we have on social media is we have friends, old friends that we used to go to school with. We have new friends that we've met. We have people that we've been connected through from somebody else that we may have never met. And so, yeah, if we're going to offend any of them, it needs to point people to Jesus, not point people to some truth that make us feel better.
Yeah, and so that gets into the second one we shared. If there's a chance I lose the opportunity to speak about Jesus because of what I'm about to post, do not proceed.
That's a hard one.
That is hard.
It's very difficult to, especially when you are have a lot of opinions,
right,
and you believe, whether right. it be right or wrong, you believe that your opinions are so much better than everybody else's. And man, if the world could just hear my side of this, it's going to change everything. And so it's hard not to hit that send button.
Yep.
Well, I'll just hit it, and then people can see it. And the reality is, when we do that, we're not thinking through what we may be losing in those moments.
Yeah, and I would just say, like, you know, I think there's some of our listeners that are like, listen, we stay a long ways away yeah. from all of these issues, and we don't get into it when it comes to our social media platforms, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or anything of that sort. I would say it's also even really simple things. I mean, truly, like, as much as we joke about the Vols, like, yep. if you are, you know, the person that is obnoxiously, constantly blowing someone up about their team, and all you can do is spew kind of yeah. just, you know, everything against them. And unless you know them really well and you know that they, you know, they know you better right. and they love you, like, just think truly, like, are the things that I'm saying really just the character as a whole that I am kind of revealing through social media? Is that actually getting me closer to being able to share the gospel with someone, to point them towards Jesus? And candidly, you might say, well, it's not really important issues, but if you're just unlikable, then you're kind of making Jesus unlikable to a degree to those people.
And what I've seen on social media a lot too is somebody will go after somebody else, and that person will message or tweet and say, oh, it's interesting that your profile says you're a lover of Jesus, but you just dropped the F-bomb toward right. me. And you attacked me personally, right. and you went after, you know, and it's like, what are we telling the world when our profile says one thing, but our messages say something totally different?
And I would just say this also, sometimes we have to be careful too, because we have relationships outside of social media, of course, that not everyone knows. So you and I we have been known at times to be a tad sarcastic.
A tad
sarcastic.
Yeah.
And And so you and I, who are the super, super close friends, we know each other well. Yeah. And we don't do this, but if you and I had some opinion that was opposite of one another, we could banter back right. and forth. And candidly, I could say something that was really snarky yep. and probably unlikable.
I could. I'm thinking of things yeah, right exactly, now.
Yeah, yeah. And you would probably laugh about it. And even if I even did something that was like really problematic, right. we would talk off sure. air or not off air, but off social media and things of that sort. But the people that are just following that stream from the yeah. side, they don't have any idea. No. They're like, wow, that guy's just a big old jerk.
Yep.
You know, no, like you just have to be mindful again. Is your voice that is out there pointing people closer to Jesus? What else do we have?
The next one is always seek the unity of the body of Christ.
Similar thought. I mean, again, yeah. we can't hold a lost world to the standards of the gospel. But as the body of Christ, we're called to encourage each other, to lift each other, not to tear each other down. Right. And we're going to try to give each other the benefit of the doubt, and we're certainly going to give each other the grace that Christ has given
and
to
here,
us.
And here's the one that, because we've already kind of talked about it being attached to the local church, Church Universal, but be certain you are truly informed on issues before you voice your opinion. That sounds so simple. Like, well, hey, just before you talk about it, like, think, you know, read right. something, learn more about it.
Which is so funny, because how many times do we all hear, well, I mean, we joke, well, of course, everything on the internet's true.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
We all know the ridiculous nature right. of the internet, and yet, then we all go and fall into yeah. the trap of getting angry over things that were posted on the internet, or believing things yep. that are just out there, or seeing just because someone has some supposed credibility attached to them does still not mean that everything they're saying is accurate. You know, just because you've got a blue check mark doesn't mean that you're always right on everything.
Well, there was a picture that went around last year, and it was in the Seattle Seahawks inside of their locker room, and it showed all the players around and the coach all there, and a player was burning the American flag in the locker room. And so you look at it, and you're like, well, that seems odd that, you know, in a quick Google search, you find the actual picture, and it had been photoshopped
correct.
To put a flag in his hand.
Correct.
And thousands of people, maybe millions of people, believed they actually burned an American flag.
Correct.
And so they attacked on something that was completely false.
And friends, there are times that it is harder to get to the truth than others.
Sure.
But there is no explanation for some of the snap judgments. I mean, again, related to these boys in this Catholic school, again, we don't know all the details of everything that happened, but I will say, like, you can't take a picture of a bunch of boys at a basketball game that are painted in black and call them racists because they're painted in black. Just the slightest bit of information give you the understanding to know that and not only are they're painted black, but they have this symbol in their hands that is deemed a racist gesture that is actually not the racist gesture. It is that they're putting three fingers in the air because their basketball team just shot a three-pointer.
Yeah, watch college basketball.
And the reason
this week.
They're all painted in black is because it's a blackout. Yeah. It just as if the next week when they have a blue out and then they have a farmer's day and they have a business
day. We had a lot of farmer's days.
All of those things, they're all painted in black because that was their team colors, not because of their racist. Now, again, does that mean that racism couldn't be around some of those kids or even in the kids' heart? I don't know.
Right.
But we have to be better than looking at a picture of some kids at a basketball game and immediately identifying them to be painting their face as a statement of racism and throwing racial gestures in their hands when they're celebrating a three-point basketball shot.
Yeah, and what we have to do as well is be somewhat objective. Because what we find is when we have a narrative that we're trying to mold and trying to push, we're going to look at all kinds of stuff to fit that mold. And the reality is maybe it's not going to fit, and that's okay. Maybe there's more information that needs to come out, and that's okay. That's about being not just a good citizen, but being a good Christian as we try to get the information. And again, through every situation, every scenario, try to point people to Jesus. But if we're making these snap judgments, then people are watching that and going, well, if if my pastor's doing it, if my good friend who's a believer is doing it, then it must be right. So some people are going to give you even more credibility than what you may even deserve. And so if you're pushing false information, that's just going to hurt our movement and our process.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll look at just a couple more of these common sense rules for social media.
So a good conversation today on things that happen online and social media and mob mentality and kind of how we
all feel like I've said a number of things that have been helpful, but I'm actually sitting here tweeting out just how unhelpful you've been in most of this.
You know,
in fact, I've actually started a Twitter poll that's going to be available for how much we don't like your comments.
Yeah, and what I'm going to do is start a hashtag I don't like my pastor.
Nice. Well, we're actually, I hope it's okay that I've shared your address.
I appreciate that. And my cell phone and all of those things.
Yeah.
That's good.
No, man.
You're doxing me as we speak.
Good grief. I mean, and that is something to say in this conversation. I mean, we have really gotten to the point of if I don't agree with someone, and for all practical purposes, we have made it okay to say you can hurt these people.
Yeah.
Because I don't mean just like emotionally.
Yep.
I'm talking about if someone is putting people's address out there, why would you be putting an address for someone that you disagree with or someone that has offended you? Mm-hmm. If you're posting their address to the world, the only reason is because you're hoping that someone is going to go and do something really irrational at that address. What does that say?
Scary. And it's getting us to a place where we don't want to just hurt people. We want to ruin them. We want them to lose their jobs. We want them to lose all income. We want them. We want some people to go over there and do something to them.
Sure. Their children or their spouse.
And that is regardless of even if all of this happened as the media portrayed it on Friday night, even if it was the worst of the worst possible thing, it's still, as Christians, we cannot say, then we should go over to their house and take out the whole family. That is not gospel. That is not lawful. And we should not be at a place where we can't have rational conversations about things that are going on. Instead, we'd rather make these snap judgments, 140 characters or however many it is now, and be very hateful to people and seek to ruin people when we do that, we fail to understand, look, these people bear the image of our God. Does that matter to us or not?
Right. And again, I think there's probably a number of our listeners that are like, this is not me. I don't.
Like, I'm still on MySpace.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I do not do this. When I dial up on AOL, I don't see any of this stuff.
You've got mail.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I would say a couple things. One is we can be advocates for doing what's right. And so it doesn't mean that we have to necessarily be the social media police, but it does mean that if we see our children stepping into activity, that we pull them aside and say, this is not right. Or if we have a friend that we see that seems to be really caught up in a moment that's not representing Christ and they are a Christ follower, that we pull them off to the side. And it doesn't mean that we start a social media banter back and forth to call them out. But we have some of these conversations. Let's be better. And so, as I said, there are a few more of these common sense rules. Again, you can find this article on our website, or even if you just want to do a quick Google search, Shoreline Church, social media, gospel, you'll find it pretty quick. But one of the ones that I thought really stood out is this. We should evaluate whether our voice on social media misrepresents what matters to us most. And I think this is actually probably maybe most applicable to our listeners. Because, again, not everyone is always talking about politics or talking about outrage and things that are happening in our society. But I do think at times we talk about a lot of stuff that really isn't most important to us. Or if we really, really ask ourselves hard questions, it might be indicative that that stuff really is most important to us. And we've got to think about that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Here's where I struggle is I'll see something and I'll go, man, I have a really good, funny comment for that. Should I post it or not? And so you have to have that wrestling match and also have people in your life. I mean, there for a while, I was a very, very politically opinionated on Facebook, and my wife was like, you have to stop. I got out of politics back in the day because it was becoming an idol, and I told, we had that conversation as a couple, and my wife was, after all of that, said, it's getting back there. So right. do we want it to get back there or not? And so be willing to have those conversations. Right. That's not my wife being hateful and trying to get me to not do something I enjoy. It's saying, what message are you putting out there?
She knows your heart. She knows what matters most to you. And she's saying, let's make sure that the world really knows what matters most to you.
Good conversation, Jason. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Tweeting this out.